This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start with a prayer?
Yeah,
it's a good idea. Dear Oprah, can you help us, please? Please?
Oprah,
we just need $100,000.
What if we were like, Oprah's our guest in our, at the Chicago Podcast Festival?
Someone asked us that on Twitter.
That's right. That's
they were like,
that.
Is the guest going to be Oprah? And I immediately wrote no, because I just didn't want her to be sad or have any big feelings.
I wonder if she would talk about murder. I feel like she's like not in that headspace anymore.
Oh, but I feel like that's what that show was. I mean, like, in the beginning, that show was like,
salacious.
This man lit his child on fire. Like,
let's give him a makeover.
For real. That show was like, oh, really, Sally, Jesse, Raphael? Well, we're going to take it one step lower.
Yeah. So, however, there is one episode where Club Kids are on one of those shows, and it's like fucking epic.
On Sally, Jesse?
I think so.
I feel like I've seen like screen grabs from that.
Yeah. Anyways.
Go ahead.
No.
Great, no, I won't.
No, and I just no anded you so hard.
Okay, the first thing I would like to talk about is how we, although it is not our birthday, nor is it yet Christmas.
You and I?
Yes, we got a surprise gift from Steven.
I know!
And you guys, if you ever want to get me a gift, don't bother, because this is the only gift I've ever wanted. Stephen brought Georgia and I the book Mysteries of the Unknown, the Time Life series. We each have...
That we talked about last week, and then he went on eBay. He must have had to overnight these on eBay.
I mean...
Here's the problem.
Spent all the money in the world.
The problem is you're so... Like, he brought over a bottle. Like, we drink my whiskey, and he brought over a bottle. And like, Stephen, no, you're... Like, we're supposed to be buying you all the shit.
You're our unpaid intern.
It's so thoughtful.
But I get college credit.
At Scientology. You got me Phantom Encounters.
I mean, we're going to co-own these, though, right? Because the second he handed you yours, I was like, but wait, what's that one?
We share these with the universe.
That's true. Mine is, except for you guys can't borrow, mine is Mystic Places.
Which was the one in the Google image search.
Yeah. That's right. With the pyramid in the eye and the Sphinx.
Some Illuminati shit.
It is.
So crazy. This is beautiful.
I mean, I just can't stop staring at it. It's the best gift.
Here's one. Here's an article. Here's a page titled, Banishing Baneful Ghosts.
Nice. Yeah.
Who came up with that?
Just some bullshit time writer who was like,
I'm so unhappy.
Yeah. They were like, I'm so sick of writing about Nixon
and Shakespeare's haunted stage. I'm getting a paycheck.
Mine's tracking the Earth's energies, and look at this guy who has like those crazy sticks that go in different directions.
He looks like he has one of those hats on that have like a pinwheel at the head on the top. Stephen, thank you.
Yeah, this
You're
is
welcome.
Amazing.
Stephen Ray Morris from the Purrcast podcast.
Thank we you. Should actually put these down because now we're reading books
Bye.
On our podcast. Oh my god, that's how good they are.
Oh, wow,
like,
that
you
was
can't...
terrifying.
These are. I feel like these were on every coffee table in the 80s.
Yeah,
where like if you went to your boring aunt's house and got stuck. What my mom's classic thing was, it's adult time. So we would get like banished into the TV room. And then if nothing good was on TV, because there were only four channels, because I'm 67. God bless the house that you went to that had a Time Life series book on the coffee table.
But do you remember those people's houses you used to go to, like friends or boyfriends' families when you were like staying for Christmas or whatever? And it was like you had memorized the one magazine that they had in the bathroom because you went to the toilet to fucking escape
just to
family.
Get away. Yeah.
And so you knew the fucking Us Weekly from 10 years ago. Not 10, like it's more like 4, so but it's maybe still four. Somehow crazy outdated.
Yes.
That like I would have memorized every word of these books as a kid because yeah. I would have just read them over and over again at my aunt's house.
That's right. And nothing when I was a child was catered to us. There was a box of toys that were entertaining when we were under 3 and under. And then it was like, and if something good's on TV or even if something my boyfriend's here. bye. Cool writer.
We played, I remember this as a kid, like here's what it was like. We played with kitchen utensils under my grandma's grand piano. And you need to shut the fuck up and play with this ladle from 1960. And like pretend it's something.
Yes. Just use your imagination.
Ours
was always just go outside because we would like, we're on a farm. There was all kinds of shit you could be doing outside.
Now everyone has Lyme.
Yeah. God, these children are tired. So thank you, Stephen. You're the greatest.
Yeah, Stephen, we really appreciate your angel human.
Should I just do some Twitter corners?
Hell yeah.
Because there's been some great stuff happening on our Twitter page. First of all, Krista tweeted at us because Gary Condit is going to appear on Dr. Phil.
Shut up.
Uh-huh. He's going to discuss the Chandra Levy murder on Dr. Phil.
It took me a minute because I'm so bad with names, but now that all makes sense.
Yeah, sorry. I should have included both. I'm just trying to open this link so I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. Okay, but I could also ask my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Because it may have already been taped.
Well, so we know that now the person who was suspected of killing Chandra Levy was let go.
That's right.
So they're starting to open up that maybe it was Gary Condit, the former senator?
Well, they exonerated the person who was in jail for the murder.
Right.
And they have reopened the investigation. No one's named Gary Condit specifically, but we do know that they've gone back in. They're looking into, like, basically people who gave him, what do you call that? Like, I was there. Alibis.
They're called I was there.
They're called the I was theirs.
We're the best.
I was there when he wasn't killing her. I believe.
Oh, alibis, man. Those things get shaky after fucking a couple of years.
That's right. And it's been quite some time.
Oh, man. And you know, he's had another affair. And so his wife is like, you know what? Fuck this.
Right.
He wasn't at home with me watching fucking Matlock.
Yeah, I feel that's kind of the key to like an old cold case.
Totally.
Is you get those people who are like, oh yeah, remember your awesome boyfriend that you would have done anything for in 1985, who is a murderer?
Yeah.
And it turns out wasn't all that cool.
He actually wasn't with me that night.
It turned out he also loved to give me the back of his hand across the face often. So I
and
do
he came home that night covered in blood.
He looked like a tomato. So anyhow, that's going to be on Dr. Phil. I can't find a date, but
no,
that's exciting.
That's
the link is on our Twitter feed. Also, the other thing I just wanted to give a shout out because we had been talking last week about how we hate carving pumpkins.
Oh no, what happened?
Well, Caroline sent us a picture of the most perfect Halloween jack-o'-lantern goals for us. And this is it. It's the tiniest face carved into a pumpkin. And when I saw it, it made me laugh so hard.
It's like the size of an emoji and the face of an emoji, like the happy face emoji. That's all I want in life.
But
give
then on the
wine.
Hugest pumpkin. So it's basically like this person took a pen and stuck it into a pumpkin. It's so
and
funny.
And then they were like, where's my wine? And where are my Ritz crackers?
I'm done. You can laugh out loud, Stephen. That's good stuff.
That's
so
beautiful.
Thank you so much, Caroline, because I really loved that to the point where I faved it. And then like the next day went, oh no, I retweet that. That's awesome. And I couldn't find it. And this morning before work, I must've spent 20 minutes trying to find this tweet.
Can I have a quick, quick pun corner?
Please do.
Squad gourds instead of goals.
Squad gourds?
Because it's pumpkin is a gourd. Let me explain this. My comedy is like kind of, you know, like it's intellectual.
It's written.
Squad gourds.
It's written.
Come on.
Reader comedy.
You gotta.
Squad gourds. That's really good.
Like, give me a hot minute. Mimi loves it.
No, my God. Mimi's crying laughing right now. You can't see it, but trust.
She looks so bored. That's amazing.
It's really good.
Thank you.
Oh, and then the, we got that super awesome, for somebody, I'll find her name right now. Her name is Jessica Hullinger, and she wrote an article for The Week called Why I Am a Murderino.
That was, and I love when people write article. It's been, you know, there hasn't been a lot, but when they write them and they post photos at other people of fan, like Murderino's fan art.
Yes.
Because it makes, it's so great to get other people's art out there.
It's very cool. It's like, it's one huge communal effort, kind of.
Yeah.
Also, the name of the article is I Am a Murderino. I added the why because I can't not do that.
What did you say?
Why I Am a Murderino.
Oh, that's weird. Well, you know what? So I want to go ahead and give someone that we need to find on the Facebook group credit for making up the word Murderino.
Yes. Who is that person?
It's a dude. And he's like, hey, I came up with that. So we need to find him.
Oh, yeah.
Someone, people are like, not people. Some people are like, let's get that fucking word in Webster's dictionary. No, okay.
I mean, if
too much for you.
I hate stuff like that.
But I don't mean for us. I mean that the word, that word means people who are really into true crime. I don't mean like from the My Favorite Murder podcast. I mean like the people who are into true crime. Like who are you? What did you? I'm a Murderino. I like that.
I just feel like whenever we say the words like, let's get this going, then there's going to be like, you know, a bunch of people are like, they want us to do it, so let's do it. Which I get, that's I kind know. Of stuff is, okay. Of all the things we should be putting our effort behind, let's get Trump in the White House. Yeah. That's the thing that I want everybody to really get feet on the sidewalks about.
Karen, people are going to think you're, I posted something today of like, Hitler is Trump, and like, look at all these photos. And someone was like, oh, thank God that I thought I heard you last week say that you were voting for Trump. And I got scared.
You know what? If you're scared, goodbye. Because that means you don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Please.
Fair.
I would say 75% of the things I'm saying are either sarcastic or lying. It's that's the kind of the jungle of a personality that I have.
And that's why I love you, man. Squad gourds.
Fucking squad gourds, girl.
Okay, I have something to talk about.
Okay.
From Instagram. You had Twitter corner, I have Instagram corner.
That's right.
All right, I'm sitting at a bar, as I do, on Saturday night, The Roost, which is one of my favorite bars in LA.
Very cool place.
Divey as fuck. Hanging out with my friends, and then I like scroll to Instagram and someone tagged me in something. And I open it and almost started crying and just turned it to my friend and showed her. And she looked at me like, you know, like one of those dude looks.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. You sent that to me.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, so Pillworm on Instagram, motherfucking got a gorgeous tattoo that says, stay sexy, don't get murdered.
And am I wrong to say that it looks like, I'm assuming that's a woman.
Yeah.
I just, because that's the usual.
I think it's on her, like, back shoulder.
Yeah, but it's, like, across her back
it's
shoulder.
Big
it
old.
Big.
I just wonder, like, what if it turns out, oh, yeah, no, we were serious about Trump. And she's like, oh, fuck, I have this tattoo on this person. These awful people are like, oh, no, we're racist as fuck.
And she's like, wait a second. I just, right as the tattoo machine is like, zzz, ding. Yeah. There you go. $75.
It's a beautiful tattoo. And it's by a girl named, her under Jaw Tattoos, J-I-W Tattoos, made it. It's like really well done and gorgeous tattoo. And I'm like, in awe of it.
It's beautiful. And I have to say, you sent me that picture. My sister sent it to me. Adrian sent it to me. Aww. And April sent it to me. Like, aww. I got, it was like ding, 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 ding.
There's another one too that I just, we can't, I feel like we have to give credit to, because it's like this tattoo that she, that Pillworm got is me in my 20s. This tattoo that this other girl is me in my like teens.
Yeah.
And it's a poke, it's a pokey tattoo that you do when, you just, and I, underneath this beautiful tattoo on my leg are the initials of my best friend from when I was 14.
Yeah.
With Indian ink.
Yeah.
And so this girl did that. I'm just going to keep talking until I find it.
It says fuck politeness.
She said, it's a stick and poke.
Yeah.
I guess it's called.
Yeah.
And she wrote fuck politeness and stick and poke. And her name is Paulina with three A's and an underscore at the end. And you can see her tattoo. It's on Twitter. I'll put it on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
It's very cool.
I fucking dig it.
I mean, it's nice that it's, there are things that people really, that's resonating and making people feel good and things that they like and that are enhancing their lives.
That's considering nice. Just the amount of shit that comes out of our mouth that we just don't think twice about. And then like, you know what I'm saying?
My Trump material. Is that what you're talking about again?
That comes out of Karen's mouth. No, I was at the bar and I almost started crying and I'm so fucking honored and it's amazing.
It's awesome. Okay. Yeah. This is like, we'll call this Laura Corner because my sister, the lurker,
We'll call it the other Kilgariff.
The other white Kilgariff. She loves the Facebook page and goes on there all the time. She's so touched by the fact that there's all these rad people talking to each other, supporting each other, you know.
About
the,
her sister.
What's that?
About her sister, right?
No, yeah, no, she's my sister.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But yes, but also talking to, she's to like, each other. They're all so nice.
They are so fucking nice.
I mean, everyone's just cool and chill. So, but she found this and it's her favorite. It's a guy named Dylan who's in the army. And he wrote and said, I'm in the army and I always give a short, semi-serious statement to the service personnel I supervise on Friday before we leave for the weekend. Usually I end with something like be safe or don't die. But today I said, stay sexy, don't get murdered. And then just walked away to a bunch of guys in the military. The funny looks I got made it totally worth it. Just wanted to share that.
Love you.
Oh my God. Thank you for your service.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Thank you for all the people you freaked out for their service. But also the idea that we crossed over into a military.
Military.
Oh, who? What?
Do you know me?
Hi.
Hi.
That is the coolest.
It's so crazy. And, oh, I also want to give a shout out. Speaking of everyone being cool and awesome on the Facebook group, the moderators are fucking, they're, you know, amazing. And
they bust their
asses.
They fuck
gang school of everyone and it's the best. Thank you guys.
Yeah.
What else?
Let me look at my list. I made a list in a font that looks like it's, if there is a 4 or 2 font, that's what I did because it's tiny and I can't see.
You can't see anything. What?
Here it is.
Let's go.
And we got lots of people reached out to tell us about this. Because it happened in Sacramento. The woman who was walking up the street with a head on a stick. Did you hear about this story? You didn't? Am I the one telling you first?
A head on a stick?
Girl.
What the fuck, Sacramento? You guys have some fucking ether in
the
air.
It's a floodplain and no one has anything to do.
Everyone's just huffing shit.
They're just hot. You know what I mean? It's like there's fumes coming up from melting asphalt.
Do you know what else?
What?
Everyone has fucking lime there. I promise you. Because you run through a field, a cornfield, lime, 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 lime. And then your brain goes crazy.
It's true. I mean, I can't argue this.
All right, but then you put a fucking head on a stick.
So apparently this woman had found a dead body in an abandoned homeless encampment.
What?
That's somewhere. And I actually looked it up on a map because I was like, where did this happen? Like all I could picture was myself in the late 80s, early 90s, driving all hot and bummed out in Sacramento and then looking over on the sidewalk and a woman with a head on it. Now,
or would you, here's what my problem is I would be the person who would come upon that abandoned homeless encampment and want to search through it.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you would, if you're like out in the woods or something and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, people lived here, but they're not here anymore. Why?
It's like detectiving. You're like, well, there's got to be a note or receipts that show when they were there, you know?
The article I read was limited information. I feel like more to come, but it seems like this woman herself is homeless and the first article I read said head on a stick, but then when I looked into it, it was a skull on a stick. So it's not going to be as totally nightmare town as it seemed, like as they were kind of selling it.
Yeah.
But still.
The media was making something seem more.
That's crazy.
I don't even.
But in the picture, it was pixelated. So there's a chance that there was some bad action on that skull. So anyway. I'm very interested to see what the next phase of like, so obviously they took her, everybody saw her walking down the street.
Why did she do that?
Well, here's my theory is either maybe she was mute or she knew that there would be a communication problem. If she said, I found a dead body, she wouldn't be able to express herself correctly.
Do you think she was mentally disabled?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's a homeless person and her choice was to put a head on a stick and walk up the street with it.
Leave it there.
But also, she decided to put a head on a stick and walk up the street with it. So I think she probably was like, this is going to be the quickest way to get help.
And I don't want to touch it. And I'm going to put it on a stick.
I'm not going to put it on the top of my head.
I'm not going to put it on my fist and like use it as a puppet. Oh, no, I'm being disrespectful.
No, it's
now.
All
I'm sorry.
So bad. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, so I'm going to keep my eye out for that story and what, even what all of that is.
You know what's so bananas to me, and like of these stories that you hear, and then you'll never hear about it again.
I know.
It's these like, this person got killed in a hit and run accident, and then you just never hear about it again.
Well, the bummer too is like, if this was an abandoned homeless encampment and somebody died there, and who knows what the circumstances were, but they said the body was, had been there for a while. Yeah. So, they probably won't be able to get a lot of information.
Nothing.
And then it's just going to be like, yeah, and that's what happened.
And like someone hasn't heard from their brother in fucking 15 years. Oh my God, bummer. I'm making myself want to cry.
I know. So anyway, there's crime all around us, but especially in Sacramento.
Everything's the worst. Just look for the best things in life. Get cats. Be
stay
happy.
Positive.
Stay positive.
Get a dog. The dogs are good too. Should we do our podcast?
No.
Any other info? Do you have an update?
Shirt corner.
Yes.
Well, it's more like shirt corner. It's actually good right now. So we're still on Shopify. We're still at myfavoritemurdershirts.com. Man, this shit is like, it's great.
Yeah.
So right now we have a new shirt, a new design.
Even like, newer.
It's like newer and like not like one you've seen before. It's designed by Kat Solon, and she sent it to me one random late night and was like, what do you think of this? And I almost started crying because it was so cool. It looks like you went to camp, or you went to like a family reunion.
Yeah.
And everyone got this shirt.
Yes.
So it says My Favorite Murder, and there's like mountains, and then it says buy your own shit.
Get a job.
I'm sorry. It says get a job, buy your own shit, stay out of the forest, which is from a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
But it's so charming and funny.
There's a little forest on it.
It looks like a fucking camp shirt.
It's like you went to Camp My Favorite Murder and then you 87 and then you got to bring this home.
And for the first time ever, there's tank tops.
Oh, that's a lot of people wanted those.
I know. Girls are like, I have big boobs and I can't wear a t-shirt. Can I please have a fucking tank top? And I'm like, I've never thought of that. I have A cups. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we need that feedback. So we're sensitive to every cup.
Sure. That was too much information.
Well, it's a fact of life. And when Hillary Clinton is president, you're going to have to deal with everybody's cups every single day. That's the truth. This time I'm being sincere.
We start every conversation with our cup size and then we move on.
When it comes to cooking, one of the most important factors isn't what you put on your food. It's what you cook your food in.
When you use Made In cookware, you'll elevate even the most simple dishes and cook like a pro.
Made In makes restaurant quality, performance kitchenware accessible to home chefs all across the world.
For years, they've supplied restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware, like Tom Colicchio, who created some of his most famous dishes at Kraft using Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, which combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad. And it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame, making it the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. We got to order some stuff from Made In so we could have a little experience with exactly what they make. And I got this gorgeous big, I think it's a pasta bowl, really big, beautifully made bowl with a navy ring around the outside. And it's just one of those things that like you could make a big salad, you could fill it with pasta, you can do whatever, but it's also just this like solid quality. You can put it in the oven. Like, I'm so excited to use this bowl. It just kind of beautiful goes with everything. And that's just one of the many restaurant quality items that you can order from Made In.
So if you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th. Visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
All right. It's my turn to go first this week.
It's absolutely not.
It is.
No, it isn't, but I don't care.
No. You went first last week.
No, I didn't. I went first. I had the eyeball killer. And you went... You're right.
Oh, no. Right up to the second. You were positive.
I'm telling you, man. I can argue anything. Even though I don't know or believe it. I can just...
I was totally... I was like, shit. Okay.
Me too.
This one, the
let's go.
Oh, yeah. Everybody calm down. The reason that this is my murder this week is because Guy Branum, mm-hmm. a friend of the show, hilarious comedian, mm-hmm. Asked me if I'd heard of these killings. And
he's good.
He's so good. And when he said what they were, I was like, my brain wrote an entire thing of what it meant.
Ooh, it's one of those names.
Yeah. And then, so, it takes place in the Philippines, and they're called the My Way killings.
Okay.
So, let me paint the picture for you a little bit. It will be a little bit confusing at the beginning, but I'm just going to run down a little information for you, and then it'll all become clear.
Get at it.
Get out
Get
of town.
Addict.
Get up into that attic. Okay, so... I don't know if you guys know this. I didn't until I started looking into this, that Filipinos love karaoke. They fucking love it. As a nation, it's basically their national pastime.
Okay.
Almost every Philippine home has a karaoke machine.
Whoa. They would hate me.
It's... Why? Because
I can't sing for shit, and I'm scared of karaoke.
I'm scared of karaoke... Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's so...
Let's make this about us.
me. So they... Every birthday party, every holiday party, and they have so many karaoke and videoke, which is a different version of karaoke where you get scored against other people that are doing karaoke that
Who
night.
Who scores you?
The machine.
Holy shit.
So it's how many... there's another thing that's like that. Maybe it's banned. Jesus Christ. Sorry, I just hit my microphone.
Man, machines are fucking taking over and judging us now and
they
scoring
are.
Us.
Oh, Guitar Hero. It's a little bit like Guitar Hero where it knows if you're hitting the right notes
right.
or not.
That
and
makes
so
sense.
You get a score for videoke. So
Fuck
it actually
you.
Gets very competitive in the bar. So if you're singing a set, like it's whoever's getting the best score on their song.
Can we all just chill, please?
I mean, so... In the Philippines, there's KTVs, which stands for karaoke television, and that bar is wholesome. It's like your whole family can go there. People have parties there or whatever.
Okay.
They cater to all ages. They serve food. There's private rooms. Then there's regular karaoke bars that are laid back. You have a drink. You embarrass yourself publicly. That's the whole idea of it.
Yeah.
Good times.
Don't go there if you want to just chill. It's like there's people singing. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny and you're going to get drunk and whatever. Sometimes there's even a live band to do vocals with.
That is awesome.
But then there's nightclubs. And their nightclub, the thing that are called nightclubs in the Philippines are basically strip clubs with karaoke. And there's exotic dancing. There's back rooms that feature more than just singing. That's directly from an article.
What is more than just singing?
Well, so basically they have, women, who work there that they're called guest service officers. I think guest service officers. And they're basically like strippers that are paid to sit with the guys at the tables.
They have those in Japan. They're not strippers for sure. They're, you know, but they are sit and have a conversation, like hosts.
Yes.
They're hostesses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going
to I feel like basically they're trying to get a bunch of things done at once at their nightclub. So they kind of offer all these different things.
To get people in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even in remote villages, families living in bamboo huts will have a karaoke machine in their house. Yeah. Which is, cause it's amazing. And so the world's first karaoke machine was invented. It was called the Juke 8, and it was built by a Japanese inventor and musician named Daisuke Inui in 1971, but the current patent holder is the Filipino inventor Roberto Del Rosario, and he developed the karaoke sing-along system in 1975. So it's basically like it's their hometown invention.
That's awesome.
And also, everybody's heard of, because singing is really like a huge thing in the pop culture in the Philippines. You've probably heard of Arnel Pineda, but he is the Filipino singer that replaced Steve Perry in the band Journey.
Oh,
he was in a Journey cover band.
Oh, yeah.
And he, when Steve Perry had throat stuff and he couldn't tour.
And they were looking for their replacement.
It's this guy who sounds exactly like Steve
Go
Perry.
Go to fucking YouTube, man.
It's amazing.
Out of control.
He's incredible. And, they found him I don't know how they found him.
I think his YouTube karaoke of Steven Perry.
Is it? Yeah, Steve Perry. Okay. Well, he had a Journey cover band.
Right.
That I think they somehow, maybe someone sent him video.
Yeah.
But there's also there's a little, girl named Charisse, who was Filipino, and her YouTube video was so popular it got sent to Oprah, and she appeared on Oprah when she's 10, and her singing voice is incredible.
Can you lose your, I start crying when I don't cry. I start crying when I see this shit, man.
Yes. Like little talented kids like that?
Oh, like little talented kids who are not trained to be these talented people. You know what I mean? Like aren't trained.
It's natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to be on Oprah. It's so beautiful.
So I was looking into like, it's why is singing this popular in the Philippines? And, just a little background, nearly 50% of the people who live in the Philippines, and that's estimated at 87 million people, live on less than $2 a day.
Wow.
And many are forced to eke out a living selling scrap and bric-a-brac or begging. A lot of impoverished neighborhoods. The karaoke machine is the one luxury that the whole community gets to enjoy and doesn't do without. So basically that's their only entertainment. And, it's the closest a lot of them get to come to escape. Besides drinking and whatever, it's like you have a little moment where, you know, you can kind of be good. And also, I looked it up. There's a Time Magazine article that was written in 2013 about the positive effects of singing.
No way.
And I'm just reading from this article. Researchers discovered singing is like an infusion of the perfect tranquilizer, the kind that both soothes your nerves and elevates your spirits. You feel elated when you sing, which comes from endorphins, a hormone released by singing, which is associated with feelings of pleasure. And you also release oxytocin, which is a chemical that's found to alleviate anxiety and stress. And it enhances feelings of trust and bonding, which explains why more studies have found that singing lessens feelings of depression and loneliness. A very recent study even attempts to make the case that music evolved as a tool of social living.
Holy shit.
And the pleasure that comes from singing together is our evolutionary reward for coming together cooperatively instead of hiding alone in a cave by yourself.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is fucking heavy and intense and
I know.
Crazy and like makes me want to sing a lot more to myself.
Mm-hmm. It's also make when I read that, I was like, oh, that's why I immediately start crying when I hear like gospel music, when like yes. amazing choral music or like musicals.
Well, when I go to like temple, the rare times I go to temple and we sing these songs in a language I don't understand, but I know what it means. And we all know the words in Hebrew, which is fucking crazy because I don't speak Hebrew. Yeah. It's just beautiful. Like it feels... Yeah, it feels like community.
Yes. Yeah, and that feeling, it's like, it's doing the work for you.
Yeah.
Where being there and being submerged in that sound
connection.
Is bonding you to those people that yeah. you're doing it with.
Fuck.
It's very cool.
I'm gonna not hide my voice next time Vince and I are driving and he puts a song on that I know, because I'm like, sing really quietly.
No, go for it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the other thing is I've always been like a big, loud, I came up on like the Annie Cast album.
Yeah.
So like just big, loud nose singing has always been my thing. But it's also, I think part of, for me, singing is so embarrassing because it's so personal
yeah.
that once you do it, I think people respond to it because they know how hard it is. It's like public speaking or anything else.
I'm amazed. And I've seen you sing and I'm amazed. I can't. I'm so in awe of people who can draw things that don't look like nothing close to what it's supposed to be, and people who can sing. It's just, it's amazing to me.
Yeah. When I first started singing, though, doing songs on stage, the first 15 times I did it, it was very quiet. Like, I couldn't breathe very well.
Yeah.
And it was just so, but I just kept doing it anyway, yeah. somehow. I don't know why.
That's life.
Anyway.
Sorry. Yeah.
But off of me, unfortunately, I'm going to change the subject off of myself. And, so oh, anyway, all these factors yeah. are, part of that cultural phenomenon. It's basically these people are figuring out how to self-soothe. And it's like life is really hard. There's, you know, a lot of people like have it hard and, you know, live. It's also a very violent place. There's a ton of illegal guns there. There's a lot of machismo culturally,
mm-hmm.
A lot of fighting. And it's so there's the need for that kind of, release valve.
Yeah.
And that's where they find it, which is actually really beautiful.
Totally.
So all of these factors contribute to a disturbing phenomenon that's taken place in the past decade. There have been over a dozen murders of people singing the song My Way.
Stop your fucking face. Are you fucking kidding me?
I swear to God.
To that song. Oh, my
God. That song.
Losing my mind. Like you said, everything leading up to this was beautiful.
I really led you down the stony
you
path.
Really? I thought it was like, and the inventor got killed. I did not expect the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm so excited.
Isn't it so good?
It's so good.
When Guy said that to me, he was like, have you heard of the My Way murders in the Philippines? I was just like immediately like, please let there be a serial killer that goes around to karaoke bars and only kills people in their car after the thing, whatever.
Well, you know what I was going to say? I was going to say, I didn't know what it was going to be. And I was like, oh, My Way must be a place in fucking the Philippines. My Way, you know, it's like, that's how you say it. MEI, My Way. And it's going to be that.
No,
this is so much more intriguing.
It's so good. Because so
I mean, it sucks. I'm so sorry for everyone who died.
Yeah,
tell me everything.
It's rough. So on May 29th, 2007, a 29-year-old karaoke singer of the song My Way, and it's, if you haven't heard it, it's the Frank Sinatra hit from 1969. It was written by Paul Anka, and it's basically a biographical song. It was written for Frank Sinatra. It's just basically like, my career's been like this because I fucking did it my way. Yes, it's been hard, but also I kicked ass, and it's super braggy, braggadocio.
It's basically a go fuck yourself to
it's
everyone.
A go fuck yourself, I did it my way, right? Yeah. It's a bit self.
Sure, but also fuck you, Frank Sinatra. He's a dick. I hate that guy.
Do you hate Frank Sinatra?
I fucking hate. I think he's a dick.
Well, I love him, and so now we're in a fight.
Congratulations. Read what he did to fucking Mia Farrow.
Oh no, I know. Yeah, that's rough stuff.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. So. A 29-year-old karaoke singer of the song My Way at a bar in San Mateo Rizal was shot dead as he sang the tune by the bar's security guard, who was arrested after the incident. According to reports, the guard complained that the young man's rendition was off key, and when the victim refused to stop singing, the guard pulled out a .38 caliber pistol and shot him dead. So this is the other thing about the song My Way. It's pretty hard to sing because it's in this weird key, where it's low, it goes up high, but there's, when you're in the low part, especially if you're drunk, it's like,
but there is a casual drunkenness to it too, the way Frank Sinatra sings it, that it's just like an, I actually don't care that much about the, you know.
Yeah. It's almost talk singing in certain parts. And it's very, it's like a long song.
Yeah.
It's draggy.
And it's sad. It could be like depressing if you're in a bar drinking and you just want to fucking hang out.
Right. Exactly. So, it's actually become such a problem that that song has been taken off of most karaoke bar song lists because people don't want the problem. They don't want
already
trouble.
I'm freaked. I thought it was one guy who's going around doing this. It's just like
it's basically, it's a thing that causes people to fight and murder.
Dude, I'm going to lose.
So fucking crazy. Okay. So, there was actually an article in the New York Times about it, and the writer asked, are the killings the natural byproduct of the country's culture of violence, drinking, and machismo?
No.
Or is there something, or is there something inherently sinister about the song? Which is kind of funny, like it's a cursed song that you will die at the end, or, you know.
It was the first person who was mentally unstable who brought his 38 to work and killed a guy, and then everyone else is copying him.
Yes.
Sorry.
Well, but no, that's it. I think it's a good theory. Most of those karaoke bars that I was describing to you earlier are really violent places anyway. It's like people are going there to blow off steam. They're going there to get shit faced.
Yeah.
There's a lot of steam to be blown off.
Okay.
And so there's lots of fights anyway.
So there's nefarious people who are there anyways.
Yes, but they often fight over bad singing and the singing of boring songs.
I can see that.
And they're saying it could just reflect the popularity of the song combined with the popularity of karaoke combined with the violent
and the competitive nature too of it.
That's exactly right, because that one videoke or whatever, it literally scores you.
Yeah.
So you're in a bar, you're trying to have a good time on a Friday night, you've got the hired gals here and the real gals over here, and you're going up there and you're trying to be cool, you don't want to suck, and in your drunk mind, I mean, how many times have you been to karaoke where someone's like, I'm going to sing like, What If God Was One of Us or something, where you're like, please don't
you.
Do that to us.
Fuck you. I know you're showing off. Sing something with your fucking friends.
Don't sing Nora Jones at a karaoke bar.
Oh my God. You're
can't
making
sing
me
like Nora Jones.
Yeah.
Just get some Should I Stay or Should I Go. Let people have a good time.
The Cars. Always good.
Cars. Blondie's probably always good.
Blondie, Cars, just shut the fuck up. Don't do fucking Fiona Apple, right?
yeah, don't bring that sadness to your own door.
No, don't bring me down.
Another great song. all right, so I lost my spot.
I can keep talking and naming songs people should sing if you want.
Now, shit, this is all repetitive.
What was the second murder? Tell me the second murder.
Shit.
I'm going to tell everyone in the meantime.
Yeah.
About.
I did the thing where I click and it flicks me back to the top and then I lose my spot.
The only time I've done karaoke where I was like, that was the fucking coolest, is I did it at a bowling alley in Eagle Rock and they happened to fucking have Dead Kennedys on there. It was Kill the Poor, which is like
Guys, that's sarcasm, just in case.
Yeah. No. It was a song called Kill the Poor.
No, I know.
Like, okay. I'm sorry, I fucking killed it. Like, I already knew those songs because I was 14 and obsessed with Dead Kennedys.
Yes.
And I just fucking, I had a couple beers already.
But people went crazy.
My three friends that were there and the rest of the empty bar were like, yeah,
they
Georgia.
Were like high five.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of one of the few times I've done karaoke is my friend put my name in without telling me.
Oh, fuck you.
And you know what song she picked for me?
Oh no.
Nothing Compares to You.
That's kind of cute though.
No, it isn't. Cause talk about My Way. It's a dirge. And it's just like,
you're right.
I can do whatever I want.
No. How good you sound?
No, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry. Like,
everyone's going to tweet at us right now and be like, yeah, but Karen, that was better than I've ever sounded in my life.
Stop. Here's the thing.
No, I agree.
You can have the best singing voice in the world. Don't do it to us. It's that. That was basically like a prank song.
You have should be time. Able to murder people if they put your name down without you knowing it. On fucking, that is unacceptable.
Yeah, that's actually, I just shouldn't have gone, but it was one of those things where there were so few people. Yeah, in the
they're
room.
Like, Karen, kill Karen.
Karen. And then they're like, get up there,
get there, girl.
Wait, you're a comedian. You're supposed to have a sense of humor.
We tricked you. We're not, you can't trust us.
Here's the thing. There's such a problem with violence in karaoke bars that they actually hire gay men or transsexual men. They call them baklas, and they are there to diffuse the undercurrent of tension with the male patrons of karaoke bars because they're not seen as rivals for the women and they're not seen as rivals for the singing. So they're just, and they're there and they, it's basically like drag queen comedy. Like they come in and make jokes and like it all, it basically keeps the tension down.
That's beautiful.
It really is nice. But it also is kind of funny that that's the amount of competition and tension in those bars is so extreme that that happens.
You know, in the very beginning of the story, they sounded so chill. And it sounded like families were there. There are places in this world. There's got to be Chuck E. Cheese's that are fucking dangerous, man. That fucking in somewhere
in the Inland Empire,
New Jersey or the Inland Empire. We're fucking, that's where mobsters meet.
Yeah, you don't want to. You one bad drunk dad near the pizza station and you're like, oh, this is a ruined Saturday.
And then he gets fucking cement shoes and gets thrown to the ball pit.
Oh, the mafia guy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Here's a really good quote and I will wrap it up here.
No, I love it. This guy
is... This guy that got interviewed for that New York Times article said, in the Philippines, life is difficult. And he is a man who repairs watches at a street kiosk. There's government corruption. It's a weak economy that's driven a lot of Filipinos to work overseas. His own wife is a maid in Lebanon. Mm. And so he says, but you know, we have a saying, don't worry about your problems. Let your problems worry about you.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. That's right. So they're just trying to deal. I also, there's just a couple on the Wikipedia page. They had other karaoke rage incidents in other countries, which is kind of funny.
God.
Just saying it's not, some people get really competitive about karaoke. There have been several reported cases of singers being assaulted, shot, or stabbed mid-performance, usually over how the songs are sung. In Malaysia, a man in 2008 in a coffee shop was performing and he hogged the karaoke microphone so long that he was stabbed to death by other patrons, plural.
Oh, and everyone had a knife on them.
Yeah.
Or what if it was like butter knives?
Butter knives. So it's like took forever to stab him. And this is rough. In Thailand, a man was arrested because he shot 8 of his neighbors to death, one of whom was his own brother-in-law, because they were singing Take Me Home, Country Roads, repeatedly and terribly.
We've talked about my ex roommate who just sang Moon Shadows, played the bass and sang Moon Shadows just into the night.
I'm Being Followed by a Moon Shadow? That song?
Wait, what's the other one? Yeah, that one. That Over one. And she was a bass player, so she was playing it on bass. Like, it wasn't even guitar. Oh, my God. So I get it.
Yeah.
I murdered her.
A man hacked 2 other men to death with a meat cleaver over a fight over a karaoke microphone in China one time.
Who the fuck knew?
I mean, it's pretty intense.
I mean, I get it. I get angry at karaoke when I get an Evite to a friend's birthday party at a karaoke, like, private room.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to... I want to go sit at the bar and talk to you.
Yeah.
And you
I don't
want to
watch you sing ABBA bad.
And, like, drink so much sake that I have a headache.
Yeah.
And pay $18 for chicken wings.
Well, be grateful that you live in a country where you basically don't have to sing karaoke all the time. Because it sounds like that's kind of just what people do.
Oh, that's true. It's like, you can't be like, no, I'd rather go bowling.
Nope. And everyone's like, bowling?
That's not a thing here.
Are you crazy? We don't do that.
I mean, can we start skee-balling instead of karaokeing? Do you know how happy that would make me?
Do you know how shot you would get? Anyway, that's my murder. I'm done.
That, I love that.
It's pretty good, right?
I would have never known about that.
I know, me either. But I have to admit, I really did want it to be just one guy in like a trench coat who would watch you sing My Way and then kill you in the parking lot.
Well, we're going to write this. Nicolas Cage, are you available?
I feel like you might be.
I have a sinking sensation.
You're going to be a gritty cop, a gritty ex-cop hired as a security guard.
Where's Willem Dafoe? Where's Willem Dafoe come in?
Where is he? He's doing a lot of Snickers commercials right now, but I think we could get him on this project.
It's around that time when New Year's resolutions give way to mid-year plateaus, so it's real easy to feel stuck.
Ugh, but the best way to get unstuck is by mixing up your routine.
That's right. Get out of your comfort zone and try something new, like an improv class.
Ooh, and the good news is you can take it at home with Masterclass.
Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn improv from one of the greats, Amy Poehler.
Amy's class is about more than just learning about comedy. She's also teaching life skills like the importance of taking up space and taking responsibility in partnerships.
For just $10 a month, you'll get an annual membership to Masterclass and unlimited access to over 200 of the world's best and brightest minds.
Seriously, getting taught improv by Amy Poehler, one of the greats, is priceless.
Yeah.
Like I would have killed to take an improv class from Amy Poehler, you know, 10 years ago. That's amazing.
Oh yeah.
The stuff you learn, it's so true. Like the things you learn about yourself and how to like have conversations, how to be in a room with people through improv is so worthwhile, even if you're not going to go in and do improv like professionally.
Yeah. In fact, if you want to learn about directing, you can learn it from Ron Howard. If you want to learn about makeup, you can learn about it from Bobby Brown. Like truly the best teaching you how to do it.
Right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Girl. We are just hard workers.
It's your time to shine.
All right. Mine's, I think this episode is a pop culture episode.
Okay.
And we actually touched on this and I didn't go as deep into this earlier as I wanted to because I was like, we're getting into my murder territory. All right, Karen.
Yes.
1995.
I remember.
Do you remember what you used to do when you'd come home from school or when you'd wake up at 3 p.m. and you'd sit down with a bowl of cereal? Karen, would you watch daytime talk shows like Maury Povich?
Yes.
And like
Jenny Jones.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And for example?
Yep.
Jenny Jones.
Yeah.
All right. So I feel like I have a lot of young listeners who don't know what it was like back then. Before reality TV shows, we had daytime talk shows that were introducing us to interesting characters and fucked up things. And it was all salacious and shitty and tawdry, but it was fascinating and amazing and sometimes great. Some of the
things. And then sometimes there'd just be makeovers.
I was going to say, so there would be, I wrote like a couple things, lie detector cheating. So
yes.
Like a guy would come out and they'd be like, are you cheating on me? Lie detector.
Yeah.
Out of control teens. Just all.
Love that. Send them that boot camp.
Send them a boot camp.
Right in their face.
Yes. Yeah. Scream in their face. And then I wrote fucked up makeovers.
Yeah.
Because they're always like, you don't dress like a mom because you're wrong. And they always rhyme.
They always rhyme.
Oh, shit.
And then there would be a weird entrance where they would walk down like a fake catwalk at the end.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, I was always like, I liked you better when you had that weird leopard print tank top.
You look so boring now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and then the audience would just scream shit. It was just like a free-for-all.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Good times.
And we watched the shit out of that.
Yeah.
So one of those people that had a show, because everyone was getting them at the time, but I actually liked the show a lot, was the Jenny Jones show. And Jenny Jones had been, I don't know, an actress
and a
singer. She was
a stand-up comic.
Was she really?
Jenny Jones was a stand-up comic. I will just slide this one in.
Please.
Who was on, and she always wore a tiny blue sequin dress for her sets. She had really big blonde hair. She was basically kind of like the cheesecake stand-up comic girl that was like, I look like this, but now I'm gonna get real and tell you stuff like this.
Wow.
So it was like she would be quote unquote playing against her own type.
Sure.
In her stand-up comedy.
Well, thank you for doing my research because I totally meant to do that.
No problem.
Also, all right. So a lot of fucked up, episodes. Hold on. Let's get to March 6th, 1995, when an episode was taped that was the premise was people revealing their crushes. All right. So one guy named Jonathan Schmitz, who's 26, he's brought in under the guise of someone has a big secret crush on you and the crush will be revealed on stage.
Okay. I just have to say, in a setup like this, I feel like this is everyone's dream come true. Like, isn't that...
We all want it to be on these.
It's the stuff of like... But even aside from being on TV, the idea of someone going, someone likes you.
I've been obsessed with you and I'm crazy about you.
Like when your friend goes, oh my God, you know who likes you?
Yes.
Isn't that like basically a high point of life? That's kind of like
totally
what we all live for.
When you find out and it's like, and I don't know. I feel like this is so 90s and such a like, we passed notes. We didn't have writing on people's message boards and texting.
Social media.
Yeah. We passed notes and we passed rumors and gossip through our friends and there was no other way of fucking handling it.
Exactly. You couldn't find out what anybody was doing or where anyone was going. It was all gossip.
All gossip. What the producers didn't tell Jonathan was that the actual name of the show was Same Sex Crushes Revealed. They didn't tell him that. Jonathan was straight. So he goes on the show, as he says, out of curiosity. He later claims that the producers implied that the admirer was a woman. So they didn't keep him in the dark. They told him as a woman, although they claim they didn't tell him that. And they told him that he would meet the girl of his dreams.
Oh,
so he's on stage and they're like building it up as they do. I mean, these shows were great at doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the secret admirer comes out and it's Scott Bernard. Amjure. And he was an acquaintance of Schmitz. They had lived near each other in Lake Orion, Michigan. And when Scott comes out, he reveals his crush to Jonathan. Jonathan is visibly shaken and embarrassed, apparently, and states that he's heterosexual, but he laughs it off and he's amiable. And then Scott goes on to tell the audience about a fantasy that involved Jonathan and whipped cream and strawberries and champagne. And then that's when Jonathan becomes enraged.
On camera?
I think in his heart.
Okay.
Yeah, not on camera. So this, and so another thing for like 1995 for people to understand is that that homophobia was fucking, I know it seems like we're in a different place now, but homophobia was hard fucking core.
Also, it was completely okay culturally for people to be homophobic. It was crazy, actually.
Even if you weren't homophobic, making gay jokes was okay.
It happened constantly.
Yeah.
And there was no there were no voices to say, hey, go fuck yourself or you're in the wrong or anything like that.
This isn't okay.
The prevailing attitude was like, that's funny, or that's something to mock, or that's something disgusting, or it's a very different time now.
And that's not that long ago, which is so troubling. And so that, you know, in 1991, Paul Broussard, who was a 27-year-old Houston area banker, died after a gay bashing incident outside a Houston nightclub where 9 high schoolers beat and stabbed him to death. And this was what life was like back then. You can't not mention Matthew Shepard in 1998.
That was 98.
Fuck. He was beaten, tortured, and left to ultimately die in Laramie, Wyoming.
Yeah.
So this wasn't a, like, you know, we'll make fun of gay people time. This was a, if you're in certain parts of the country and certain people want to fuck with you and you're gay.
You know.
I mean, and not to say that it doesn't happen now as well.
But there's such, it's just a totally different, there are people who will speak up against it everywhere you go.
Yeah. There's a shift of understanding that.
And a shift of identity of people that are saying all the prevailing attitudes of like, this is a deviance as opposed to, no, I am your relative.
Yeah.
I'm your brother, your friend. It's people that you know. This isn't some aberration that it's like,
it's not an affliction. It's a it's an identity.
And also it's the majority of the population, not the majority of the population, but it's an even amount. There used to be a, like, there was a government, an old, old government projection that said 10% of the population was gay, right, when it's way, way higher.
Yeah.
So it's just that thing of like, you know, it's an educational process that's taken us forever.
And it's great. I mean, as much as I fucking hate the internet, it's like there's, you would never have known what a huge population of people who are way fucking different than you in every way are out there, unless, you know, you had that, the internet.
Right. And people have a voice now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. So let's cut back to 3 days after the taping. Mm-hmm. And Scott leaves a suggestive note on Jonathan's house. Jonathan finds the note and withdraws money from the bank, purchases a shotgun, and then went over to Scott's mobile home. He questions Scott about the note, and then Jonathan goes back to his car, gets his gun, and goes back to the trailer. He shoots Scott twice in the chest with a 12-gauge buckshot at such close range that paper wadding from the shotgun shell ended up on Scott's heart.
Ugh.
While a fragment of the other shell's casing entered his left lung. So, like, this is a look at me while I'm fucking killing you situation. After killing Scott, Jonathan leaves the residence, and he calls 911 and confesses.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. Okay. During the trial, he is arrested during the trial. It's stated that, Scott's friend says that after the taping of the Jenny Jones show, Scott and Jonathan actually went out drinking together and had an alleged sexual encounter. So it's possible this whole thing, I mean, that's a weird element to it. They don't talk about a lot in a lot of these articles.
Mm-hmm.
It's alleged.
Because it's hearsay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's total hearsay. It puts the level of anger it makes a little more sense to me, you know?
Yeah. Or it could be a lie. It could be a lie to justify,
No. But this is Scott's friend. This is the guy who gets killed's friend said that they went out together that night. But you're
okay.
Right.
Okay. No, I'm just saying. Alleged is a big word.
Yeah. So he's found guilty of second-degree murder in 1996, sentenced to 25 to 50 years in prison. Convictions overturned. Upon retrial, found guilty of the same charge once again. Sentence reinstated.
Ugh.
In 1999, Scott's family sues the Jenny Jones Show, Telepictures, and Warner Brothers for the ambush tactics and their negligent role that led to the death of Scott. The jury found that the Jenny Jones Show was irresponsible and negligent, and that the show intentionally created an explosive situation without due concern for the possible consequences, which is like fucking every reality show right now, too. The Michigan jury found the Jenny Jones Show negligent and responsible for the events. They gave Scott's family over $25 million. $6.5 million in funeral costs and burial, $5 million for the pain and suffering, and $10 million each for loss of companionship and compensation. But the judgment was later overturned by the Michigan Court of Appeals in a 2-1 judgment, and the Michigan Supreme Court declined to hear the case.
So then they never had to pay that money?
No, it wasn't Jenny Jones's, and it wasn't their fault, you know? Although there was apparently a letter saying that was, I don't know. It seems like they didn't fucking tell him what he was expecting. And, you know, so they're at fault. And the producers decided not to air the show, but you can see it on Court TV's coverage of the trial. And it's also featured in an HBO documentary called Talked to Death.
Ooh.
But man,
Wow.
So fucking sad, isn't it?
Well, also it makes me think, because you said like that it could happen again, but I bet you after that a shit ton of rules were put into place.
Oh, yeah.
By production companies that were like, and if you do this, you have to do this. Like, like say something like on Maury Povich or whatever. Like, I'm sure all those other really exploitive Sally
cheaters.
Jesse.
Like, remember Cheaters recently?
Yeah. Yeah, Cheaters was crazy. Oh, I used to watch that all the time. But I mean,
the
that's like kind of
stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah, the host got stabbed. Yes, that's right.
You know what I've always had a problem with is, so you, when you're on a TV show or you're going to be in an area where there's a taping, you have to sign a, you know, a waiver saying you're okay with your, you know, your image. But, you know, I bet they had him sign that before this happened.
No, here's the thing.
Tell me everything you know.
Here's what I know.
Yeah.
Is that it's only in certain states that you have to do that.
Oh.
And because there's certain states where, like, in New York City, you can film, you can walk down the street and film and you're fine. In California, you can't do that.
Okay.
So in California, like when we would, like on jobs I've had, you have to stick signs up. Now,
right.
You, in New York, you have to do the same thing. You have to put up a sign that says you're about to walk past a like rolling camera.
Due
or whatever.
Process, basically.
Exactly. But in California, you have to have a waiver. So if you, if we would do man on the street stuff and there'd be a lady that would walk behind the interview and then go, blah, blah, blah. It was something great that you wanted to use. You'd have to have PAs run to get that lady to make sure she signed, or you could not use the footage. Because basically the footage then becomes the proof. You know what I mean? Like, they have a open and shut case that, like, you filmed me and I didn't say you could, and you don't have the paper that says I said you could, so you can't use it.
So what about when you worked on, like, talk shows and you had guests that would come in, like, they signed shit beforehand, like, that anything you say can be aired? You can't go back and be like, I didn't expect this question to be asked of me, and I don't want this on TV.
Well, no, they do that, like ask questions that they weren't either prepped for or whatever, but that's more, that goes into like a more of a celebrity thing. They would, I don't think they do that to, like human interest guests that much, but in the celebrity world where they're like, okay, this is the person that just had the affair and it's in the news and everyone knows this person just had the affair. And so the publicist is like, you will not be talking about the affair.
If
and
you
the
ask
producer,
this question, we're fucking leaving.
Exactly. Okay. And then the producer goes, of course we won't. Of course. And then when they're sitting there, everybody makes that call. They literally make that call where they're just like, ask the question. The question gets asked. The celebrity answers the question because they're in that situation where what are they going to do?
And they don't want to be rude.
And the publicist goes batshit bananas backstage. I've seen this. I mean, like that. I haven't. It's not like I've been in those gotcha situations. Yeah. I've never worked on gotcha shows like that. But that is a thing that's done where then it becomes a political thing, but usually between the publicist and the show, where it's like, I will never come back. None of my clients will come here. I will pull this.
But they're like, is this worth losing all those clients because Angelina Jolie said whatever the fuck about her marriage?
It's
worth it. Let's just
fucking
do it.
It's worth it. It's worth the ratings. We will be the first people to have had the word on this.
And then the publicist sees that the movie that they're making gets way more fucking people watching because they saw this thing at the
end.
I can't deal with it.
It's crazy because that, it really is that thing where that whole world of like bad publicity is there's no such thing as bad publicity, because it really is true with the way social media is and the way the digital world has changing entertainment.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is like, there are people that plant their own gotcha stuff because they know it's the same thing of like how the Kardashians call the paparazzi on themselves.
We're going to be here.
It's that thing where people, people have learned over time that being in that victim stance actually can be good for your career.
Yeah.
And so they'll do it or they'll set it up.
Like if they feel that this is a question they weren't expecting and they're being suddenly open and honest when really they fucking knew it was going to happen, and then they get played as the victim.
But they magically handle it so well that suddenly the public, who, you know, it's kind of
that
thing.
And moment.
I do not know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure when Hugh Grant went on Leno to talk about when he got caught with Divine Brown and he was married and all that stuff, the way he handled that.
Let's go back to 95.
Right? Yeah. Was it around then?
He handled that so beautifully.
Because it was like, he basically went,
blushing and like,
I'm sorry and bad, whatever. And it's the thing that up until that point, any publicist would tell an actor in that position, you can't go on a talk show, or if you do, they will not talk about this, whatever. And instead instead, suddenly we see how it can, this situation can be handled in a different way, and you can turn an entire culture back onto your side. And so, basically, this is just one more Karen ruining TV for everybody, but it's that thing where it's like these things are strategized and planned out so much more than anybody thinks.
It makes me ill, and it's the reason why I yell at the TV all the time. Yeah. I cannot watch late night talk shows. I can't watch those interviews. It makes me want to scream. Hey, Karen, I heard you went to the fucking beach lately.
Oh my God. That's so funny you bring that up because, it's weird. Yeah. And the weirdest, creepiest part, I'm not acting anymore.
Yeah. No, we're
done. Weirdest, creepiest part is there are people that are so good. Like you can watch people who have done the same story on more than one
and
talk
they look
show.
Like they're just like, oh my God, I'm just remembering this.
Oh, that's right. That birthday was so crazy where you're just like, oh, this is a completely orchestrated conversation.
Nothing is real.
Nothing is real.
Speak for yourself.
Speak for yourself.
Question authority. Timothy Leary. Goodbye. No, I'm on acid right now. No, I just can't. It's not reality. It's not real. And it scares me. And
it's not TV. It's HBO. What?
95.
Why did they get a plug?
We've been plugging so much shit that like Time Magazine, fucking books.
Hey, check out Time Magazine, everybody.
Boards. They haven't paid us to plug them. Fucking pumpkins. Yes. Man.
Guys, that was, you know what? I like that because it was like kind of different. Still on theme, but then we both took it in a little bit of a different direction this
No
week.
Children got killed this episode.
That's right.
That's rare.
Could we just aim for that once a month?
Once a month can a fucking child.
Did you see somebody made an I'm sorry where they made the I'm really small? It was basically like the visual.
Ugh. And it was perfect because it that's exactly what sorry.
Yeah. That's good stuff. All right, we've done it again.
We've done it?
Wait, this is episode 40. High
Shut
five.
The fuck up, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, episode 40?
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at us go.
That's crazy.
Karen, I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us too.
We've been friends for 40 weeks.
Here's to 20 more.
Oh, wait, no. There was the 1 week I got married and your mom died.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got married.
We've been friends for 39 weeks. That was the realest week of all, though.
And we were so casual about it. Sorry, you guys. We're not, because we didn't have any. There was nobody. March, man, nobody cared in March. And I was like, this is a thing.
Yeah, no one cared.
But you're like, I like that girl from that thing and that girl from that thing.
Yeah.
Now listen, we have to tell each other one good thing from this week.
Oh, good idea. You go first because I can't think of anything.
Well, I always forget that part. My thing is that I really reconnected with Mimi, my cat Mimi.
What?
I know, it's so stupid. But, like, suddenly I'm obsessed with Elvis. He's my fucking... Why are you laughing at me? It's true.
Because you're telling me, you're petting Mimi, it's a little Dr. Evil-y, or you're like,
my cat, I reconnected with Mimi. We got eye to eye and brain to brain. Can I plug their Instagram? It's Elvis and Mimi.
Sure.
On Instagram. And she's just, I've always been scared to love her because I thought Elvis wouldn't love me anymore for it.
Wow.
I know. I'm fucking insane. I have I have worms in my head.
Toxoplasmosis.
Thank you, Stephen.
Feline AIDS.
And then suddenly I realized what a sweet angel she is. And Elvis gives zero shits about anything but cookies.
It's so very true.
We're good. It's been nice to. I love cats. Go on.
They're pretty great.
Yeah.
These ones are sweet.
They like you guys, which is rare for them. Not for people to like you, but
yeah, that's pretty rare. I'm sorry.
Okay.
This whole time I've been scrambling in my head. Okay, this fine. I'll just do it.
Anything.
This is honest. This is, at least I'm being honest. The shirt I'm wearing right now is my favorite shirt I've ever owned in my life.
It looks amazing.
Thanks. It's just a salmon and navy striped shirt that I got at Crossroads, Stephen.
You look like a hot pirate.
Hey, but
with a pocket.
There's something about it. It like reminds me of high school. It reminds me of all these things. It's really weird.
I appreciate the thinness of it.
And yet it's super comfortable.
Substantial.
Yeah. And it's a little tiny bit blousy, but then it also, it's working for me in every way to the point
I noticed your boobs earlier. It's a thing I do as an A-cupper.
Drapey.
It's like, she's womanly, but she's not trying to throw it in my face.
That's right. I actually cover it up to make you want it more. It's a very Victorian of me.
The more layers you put on, the more I'm like, what could be under there?
I'm going to start wrapping a scarf around my neck, and then you're going to be so into me.
And then I'll be like, does her neck fall off when I unwrap that scarf?
You mean that Halloween story?
Scary stories to tell. Steven, what is it?
Scary stories to tell in the dark? Steven's having a nervous breakdown. You know what Steven's saying right now to us with this laughing, this hysteric laughing, is end this fucking podcast.
You guys are out of your minds.
Stop talking about everything.
Scary stories to tell in the dark. Don't even look it up, Steven.
You take off the necklace and
never take my scarf off.
Never take my necklace off.
And then her head falls off and she says, I told you not to take it. And then he puts it on a stick.
And he walks down the street of Sacramento with it.
You guys, thank you so much for listening.
We love you. We're totally insane. Stay sexy.
Please. Oh, don't get murdered. Rate, review, subscribe on Instagram. I mean, where?
Oh, my God. Elvis. Save us.
Do you want a cookie? You want a cookie? Want a cookie?
No.
Yeah.
Bye.
We both get shot.
Sorry.
Oh my God.